Dan Hurley says, no thanks to the Lakers. Going back to UConn. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And this thing's got a lot of layers. Not too surprising. We don't see this exactly the same way. Perloff, you're a little more willing to kind of take this at face value. Like, hey, Dan Hurley went out there with good intentions to LA, didn't like what he heard or didn't like the offer, and now is back at UConn.
Well, I mean, the Lakers call, I could see Connecticut coach Dan Hurley saying, okay, yeah, I want to listen to this. Now, the Lakers, I think, probably could have done more to get him to say yes. A 6 years, $70 million was surprisingly low to me. I thought it would be longer term, more money per year and a bigger commitment.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. $70 million doesn't go as far as it used to, especially in California. Yeah. I think the offer was fine. I think Dan Hurley never really wanted to go to the Lakers. I think he used the Lakers to get an extension at UConn. But that's what you and I think. Let's get the thoughts of Jordan Cornette, one of our absolute favorites. NBC Sports, played college basketball at Notre Dame, covers both college and professional hoops, so can talk about both sides of this. Jordan, you heard the news yesterday that Dan Hurley is staying, and what was your thought?
I was with you, Maggie. I wasn't surprised. I never really thought it had many legs to it. Now, obviously, there is a percentage chance because, I mean, come on, it's L.A. It's the Lakers. It's the Yankees. It's the Boston Celtics. It's that type of franchise where you're going to listen. But I've gotten to know Danny kind of well going back to his Rhode Island days, and we have a pretty good relationship as a guy who's done a bunch of his games from Rhodey through to UConn here. And he's too rooted in family. His wife's from Jersey City. She didn't really like being in Rhode Island, let alone get up and go to L.A. And that's not just putting it on his wife. That's him and his wife. That's his family. You know, the ability for his father and his mother to be able to watch his games and be on that back bench supporting him. Like, everything with Hurley is not Dan Hurley, it's Hurley family. And the idea that he was going to pick up no matter how great the contract was, which I think that number didn't matter because if L.A. was truly going to be able to get him and money was the sticking point, the number would have been higher. I just think it was one of those where I'm going to entertain this because I'm not some idiot. It's not going to listen to the Lakers. But at the end of the day, I don't think he was ever truly going to do it because he's got such a great thing going. I don't think it speaks to what the NBA is currently, what LeBron means to the Lakers currently, or what the state of college basketball is. It's this guy's a two-time champ. He wants to try and win a third. He wants to chase some real rare air here, and he loves what he's got going on. And I know I'm going long on my first answer, but I also want to sprinkle this into the conversation. If you're a coach in the NBA and you're a Hurley, where do you want to coach? Do you want to go all the way to the West Coast and go to L.A., or do you want to see if it gets wonky with Tibbs in New York, and then in a couple of years you become the New York Knicks head coach? Like, I think if you're going to make the NBA jump, he's going to want to do it on the East Coast. And maybe he's thinking, let me just keep my head down, keep grinding, keep dominating in college. And if I want that opportunity, let's do it on the East Coast. Let's do it on a team I came up watching in the New York Knicks, if it presents itself.
But, Jordan, if you knew all this, and a lot of people knew this around Hurley, how come no one told the Lakers? Because the Lakers look like idiots now.
Perloff, it's a great question, man. I think they were banking on the state of college basketball being something that somebody wanted to pick up in the middle of the night and leave from. And I think that's not an out-of-touch take. I mean, look, not many people turn down NBA jobs when they're coming out of college, let alone the L.A. Lakers. And I truly don't believe it had anything to do, to reiterate, with LeBron and the status of the Lakers right now. I just think it was a place that did not make sense for him. And I think the Lakers still have a bunch of different opportunities. I just don't think the PR play was that smart for it to get out through Woj. All their eggs were in this Dan Hurley basket. I mean, because there's a lot of fine coaches out there that can come in and do the job, and now they're most clearly second fiddle, but who cares? It's the LA Lakers game.
Jordan Cornette's joining us. NBC Sports, of course, former college player, Notre Dame, covers both college and the pros, and we always appreciate his perspective. Where do you think the Lakers should turn?
You know, that's a great question. How about the one I saw late last night? And you know, it's all rumor mill, and I love it, but how about Jay Wright popping up in the mix once again? I mean, I think that's a total long shot. I think he's so happy with what he's doing in the broadcasting realm, and I think fans are so happy listening to him. I think he was so burnt out. It'd be amazing and astonishing if Jay Wright all of a sudden becomes a late dark horse in this thing. But, you know, I'm going to be biased. I mean, I think there's a lot of very skilled, very talented assistant coaches out there. And the associate head with Miami Heat, a former teammate of mine, Chris Quinn, is the type of guy that's a grinder, that can navigate those waters. It'd be his first head coaching gig. I understand it. But I think, you know, guys like that that are out there, they're talking to a Cavs assistant. I think some of these assistant coaches need opportunities to step up. I mean, rarely do I agree with anything that Kendrick Perkins says on the national airwaves. Most of the time I turn it off. But what he said, you know, the recycling of all these head coaches everywhere, it's becoming like a joke. Like, let's get a fresh look at it. I think that's why people wanted Dan Hurley out there. And if it's not going to be that college coach, I do think you got to bring up some of these young minds that have been cultivated in elite franchises and done a lot of winning, and let them get a chance at it. So is Chris Quinn the one that I would peg? Well, maybe that's not the Lakers fit, but one of these guys coming up that has learned through one of these franchises, I think it's time to give them an opportunity and see if we get some fresh blood in there.
I didn't know we had a media beef between Jordan Cornett and Kendrick Perkins. Let's explore this, man. Take him out.
Fine guy. I just sometimes not aligned with Bob.
Get in line with Kendrick, though, Jordan. You know, the Lakers apparently are interested in media members, Jordan. It seems like you like that Lakers job. I don't know if they threw a little money, said J.J. Redick's not available. How about Jordan Cornett? Put him on the list because apparently you don't need coaching experience.
I'm a media guy. I chase the money. I'm no different than anybody else. Yeah. I'd be up for it.
What about J.J.?
They still got a million of opportunities out there. I just think, you know, once you hone in on one guy in any coaching search and that fails, then everybody feels like the earth is scorched and it's on fire and, you know, they're underwater. I mean, now they just have to recalibrate. They've got time to pick another guy, and they can still certainly land on their feet with a group of guys that are out there. I never liked the J.J. Redick approach because I think it gets a little wonky when you have the relationship he has with LeBron, and then it's, well, what message is coming out of your locker room? Is this a LeBron-laden message, or is this our actual head coach? And I think when two guys are doing a podcast and have that type of relationship, and he doesn't have the coaching resume coming in, that doesn't feel organic, and it feels like you're already, you know, 0-2 count trying to get out there and get a base hit. I don't like that approach with J.J. for that particular gig. He's an elite mind. I think there's a place for him in the NBA. Just don't love it as a fit with L.A.
Jordan Cornett's joining us. NBC Sports, both college side and the pro side. He knows both so, so well. That's why we appreciate his perspective. Where is LeBron in all this, Jordan? I noticed it feels like he was kind of – he's kind of been absent. I don't know about you, but I know the insiders, Brian Windhorst and others, they've got great information. I feel like they keep trying to sell me that LeBron's never involved in these coaching hires, which true, it makes no sense because he's definitely involved in the coaching firings. So why wouldn't you involve him in the coaching hirings? Seems like bad process. But if LeBron wanted Dan Hurley, doesn't he make a phone call to Dan Hurley, and couldn't that have swayed things? Like, where do you think LeBron is in all this?
Yeah, and that's what's really interesting. I wonder how much, you know, the groundswell and the news coverage around Bronny James and LeBron, you know, in that realm and all those stories coming out where he maybe just feels like, hey, I can't be too much in the forefront of this now with everything that's the attention that my son is getting. And I think that's honestly where his number one, the top of his attention lies, is getting his son into the league. Now, again, this is all spitballing. I'm not talking to LeBron. I don't know. But I think it's curious where any other coaching and job or firing, hiring, involving LeBron on a franchise, he's always in the mix. It's always discussed. And now suddenly with this one, it's not. And also, I agree with you. Who says no to LeBron if he's on the horn and calls you up and says, how can we make this work? I don't think any of that's truly happened. I do believe that LeBron may be out of the fold on this one. I do believe he may just wait and see what they do.
On the other side, Jordan, in UConn, chance to be the first three-peat since John Wood. And looking ahead, I know it's a little bit away, how are Danny Hurley's chances of winning another title this season?
I mean, I'd be the guy, if I'm Dan Hurley, and he's not going to do this because he's too measured and he's too principled, but why not sit there and be like, LeBron, what do you got to Miami? Not one, not two. I mean, that's got to be the mentality. I laughed when I first got the news yesterday that Dan turned it down. I was like, what a elite recruiting pitch. You now walk into any home and say, I did not want to coach LeBron in the Lakers because I knew how good it was at UConn. I want you to come along and see how great it is. This is better than LeBron and coach of the Lakers out in Hollywood. Like, come on. Who says no to that? This guy is a rock star now. I think there's some top 100 camp that starts today that he's going to be at. Like, when he walks in the door, it should be like John Wooden walking the door. Like he's got that cachet now where every top recruit, which they already were getting outside of Cooper Flagg, they're going to have anybody and everybody wanting to coach there because how he handled this too is being undersold. The fact that he came in and told his team right away when the news came out, sat them all down and said, I don't know if I'm taking this gig. It's out there. This is what's going on. I mean, he treats his players so properly, and it's all about family, and it's all about cultivating the program and program first. Players, if they buy in, they go to the NBA, but he has such a great relationship with them. I truly believe they're going to turn into a full-on juggernaut where it's just absolute dominance here for the next decade as long as he stays there. I'm not going to say they're going to win every title, but it's going to be UConn in the field for a few years here coming.
Jordan Cornette joining us, former Notre Dame basketball player, NBC Sports, covers the NBA as well. See, I would have the opposite approach. This is how we're different. If I was a coach coaching against Hurley or recruiting against him, I would walk into a kid's living room and say, this guy's leaving. He's leaving to go to the NBA for the whoever's going to offer him the most money. Like, I would negatively recruit against that.
He just said no.
But he could take another job, don't you think? He's on the record saying he wants to play. He wants to coach the NBA eventually.
True. But I would look at it and say any good coach anywhere is going to have that up. Any elite coach is going to have that. I mean, people probably said that about Coach K when he turned down the Lakers 10 years ago, or beyond that, 20 years ago when he was dominating. He was going to leave for somewhere else. I truly think unless the Knicks come up or it goes really bad at UConn, I don't think he's going to leave for anything else. I think he's so rooted in what they're doing there. He's got it so good. He wants to try and win a flagrant amount of championships there. And he's making $5.5 million right now. Like, you know, that number got bumped up. He's probably going to be making $8 a year.
Not like, bad.
Where are you going to go? I mean, that guy showed me the discipline to say, I've got it good. I don't want to mess with good.
Hey, Jordan,
you got that discipline in that moment. I think you stayed kind of along that road.
I always think of Danny Hurley, he doesn't even need the best players. To me, and maybe I'm being like naive, he just seems to run better plays and everyone plays defense and everyone buys in. Like, that's why I think the Lakers wanted him. Is he, in your opinion, is he an outstanding X's and O's coach as well?
Well, see, that's why no matter what time you guys call, when you call, if it's 11th hour, if it's week runway, when Maggie and Perloff call, that's why I come on the show. Because it's a little bit of Maggie I agree with in the beginning, then she goes left, and then, and then I agree with everything he's saying. Like, we just have a good synergy here, person weave going on. Perloff, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, was there talent that we're going to talk about for years to come? Is Tristan Newton going to be a household name in college basketball in 5 years, who was kind of the main cog of the operation this past year? Is Von Castle really good? Is he going to light up the NBA? He could. But these aren't names that were just sheer dominant guys that you're going to talk about for years to come. It is absolutely the system, and that's what made him most alluring. Look, Danny's personality was a rigid fit for the NBA. Mm-hmm. Certainly the Lakers knew that as they're recruiting him, and any other coach in the or any other GM or owner in the NBA that tries to recruit him moving forward. But his system is so sublime. When I watch them play, I'd always laugh like when guys like Greeny get up there and say they could beat an NBA team. Greeny didn't believe that. Nobody really believes that. But what you're truly seeing is these guys run NBA action. They run offense like an NBA team, and you're not accustomed. Heck, you never see that in college basketball. Mm-hmm. The desire may be there from a coach, but the ability to execute it and for it to be as aesthetically pleasing and productive and efficient, no, you don't find that anywhere. But you found that with UConn these last few seasons. Could they beat an NBA team? Hell no. Do they play like them? Absolutely. Mm. So it's the system first, and he gets some very talented players. But I do believe if you throw a collection of players on other teams, yeah, they win a lot, but they're not running it back in national championship form. And I've made this argument finally here. The fact that Danny Hurley is up there is talking about one of the all-time great coaches so early with what he's achieved, it's absolutely accurate, but why I think he's the best coach in UConn history already, look, Calhoun is that guy. He still has work to do to pass him. But to me, I truly believe Danny Hurley is UConn's greatest coach and one of the best we've ever seen, because in this time frame, to go back-to-back is harder than it's ever been in college basketball history. With NIL, transfer portal, most especially transfer portal, to have that continuity and have that buy-in to run it back, it's more impressive than when Florida did it. More impressive than when Duke did it. It's more impressive than when these teams have done it because of the landscape. You coach a guy up too hard, there's seven figures or six figures waiting for them to leave the next day. And he's been able to maintain that with those guys to go win, it's remarkable. It's one of the most incredible achievements given the landscape of college basketball right now.
Jordan, last one for you. Jordan Cornette joining us from NBC Sports. Real quick, Mavs are down 0-2 to the Celtics in the NBA Finals. Is this series over?
I'll tell you, if Kyrie can't figure out a way to score on Jrue Holiday, the series is absolutely over. I mean, the obvious thing that everybody looks at with that group is Luka and Kyrie and them playing off of each other, whether it's first half Luka, take him home Kyrie, vice versa, or quarter after quarter, however they approach it. It's been a two-headed snake that has carried them this way. To me, I think Jrue Holiday is the MVP of the finals. Look, Jaylen Brown's going to win it. He's been awesome. But Jrue Holiday taking Kyrie out of this thing is the story. And by the way, he's putting up points. Like Jrue Holiday, every time you pluck him on a team that's missing something, they win a championship. So if Kyrie can't figure out now that he's outside of Boston, maybe get a little bit more comfortable in Dallas. But Drew's making it uncomfortable for him. They have to take two here. They have to take two here, no question. They can't take one and go back to Boston. It'll be over. But it starts with Kyrie and that Kyrie-Jrue Holiday matchup. Dallas is favored in game three come hump day. I love the Celtics. Love them.
Jordan.
I think it goes 3-0.
Thank you so much. You're the best. Appreciate you doing this. Love getting the college perspective from you and the NBA perspective. You bring both. We're running the three-man weave. It's just great.
I love you guys. Hey, I love being on with you guys. It's been a minute since the tournament. Great way to start the day, and have a great rest of the show, guys.
Appreciate you.
You too, bud.
Thank you. Jordan Cornette, NBC Sports, played at Notre Dame, obviously, covers the NBA as well, does it all.
I love his description. Danny Hurley would be viewed by the NBA as a rigid fit in the sense that, like, we haven't even talked about that much today. The fact that personality-wise, Danny Hurley, remember we were talking about that last week?
Yeah.
But no one's brought that up. Like, hey, wait, was this the right fit personality-wise? Anyway, it is an unusual college coach's guy so hard. Could he have adjusted to the NBA? We haven't even mentioned that today. There's a huge adjustment for Danny Hurley, so maybe that was part of the story as well.
855-212-4227. Again, where's LeBron in all this? What's going on?
Why can't LeBron just be at home running his media empire? Why does he have to have anything to do with this?
Right. It's just the team that he's trying to still win a title with, that he wants them to draft his son.
Maggie,
but he has
at certain
no
point,
input, no thought. No, he's just going to sit this one out on who's going to be the next head coach. Sure.
At a certain point, you're going to have to decide who's running this whole thing. Is it for you? Is it Woj? Is it Bronny?
It's not
the people who are getting up in front of the podium and saying they're making the decision. So you have to decide. Is it Rich Paul? Is it Adele? I have no idea at this point.
I have that answer for you. I'm going to give it to you next. Again, 855-212-4227. If you want to listen to our show, well, of course, our incredible Infinity Sports Network affiliates, who we are just obsessed with, we appreciate them so much. The absolutely free to download Odyssey app is right there for you. Great user experience. You can go back and listen to shows you may have missed. Also, SiriusXM channel 158. If you want to watch us, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Perloff and I are not matching today. Hey, that's an achievement. We're wearing different colors. If you want to see what we look like, come on in. Say hi to the Weedos and the coffee drinkers in the chat. More next.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Now, normally, our executive producer, E.J. Stewart, picks a Defensive Player of the Week, but he is busy. Let's say busy. Is that the right word? I mean, he is on the dream trip of all dream trips. He got engaged in England, and now he's in Paris eating souffle.
It's insane. Strolling down the Champs-Élysées probably right now.
Yes, he is. I mean, first of all, the dude was in England and asked his longtime girlfriend to marry him.
Yeah.
He could have done it on the Seine. I don't know. Did he miss an opportunity by not doing the City of Love?
You know, I think Paris is beautiful. A little cliched, no?
Yeah, yeah,
engaged
that's true.
In Paris, a little on the nose. Mm. I kind of like it in London because maybe you don't see it coming if you're Andrea. You know, maybe she was like, oh, maybe this is happening at the Eiffel Tower, which, like, would have been cool. I'm not turning my nose up at that.
I mean, the classiest move, he was there for the Mets-Phillies game, would have been to do it during the game Jumbotron.
Right after a Met loss, that would have been great.
Yeah, that really livens up the mood.
But EJ tries to sort of trick us by going off sport or something. So, Ryan, you picked the Defensive Player of the Week this week?
I did. I was going to be rude and pick the UConn AD. just because he blocked him from the Lakers, but no, I didn't.
I think Ryan went, obviously, NBA Finals. Jrue Holiday or one of the Boston Celtics defenders.
I think that Ryan went with last night's Stanley Cup.
Ooh. A little Sergei Bobrovsky, if you will.
I mean, I think Bobrovsky may have won it already once. Why does this defensive player always sneak up on me every week? I know it's on Tuesday, and I'm always unprepared. I think you went with hockey.
Yes.
Great.
It's hockey. It's Sergei Bobrovsky. Oh, after his game one shutout, he had insane performance. 32 saves, made 18 saves yesterday, became the first, well, one of three goalies in the past 50 years to allow two goals or less in the first two games.
Phenomenal.
Is a goalie really a defensive player? I mean, yes, technically, but...
How would they be an offensive player?
Well, right, but like, you know what I mean. Like,
nope. They're playing defense. They're stopping
technically
the puck.
Playing defense.
It's like the most important defensive player.
Right, but like a fullback in soccer. What do you call the guys who are on defense in hockey?
Defenseman.
Right. A defenseman is defense. A goalie is a goalie. There's a difference.
A soccer goalie is a goalie.
That tickled Pete. Yeah. But like, I heard that
actually,
Mike.
There's a position defenseman.
Right.
Yeah.
Goalie is just like a little different. I'm just saying.
It's like the apex of the defense. Right. It's like the most important, biggest defender.
If the other defenders don't matter, if your goalie stinks.
But if you had...
They also give out an award for the best offensive-minded defenseman.
Right. But
and the best defensive offensive player,
that's
too.
That's true.
Yeah. Right, but isn't there...
Goalie is just goalie.
Right. But you would say, who's a great goalie? Give me a great goalie.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Patrick Roy.
Two-time winner of this award.
Would you ever say Patrick Roy is the greatest defensive player in NHL history? You would say no.
He's the best goaltender, but goaltending falls under the defensive umbrella.
But you might also say, who's the best defensive hockey player of all time?
To argue semantics, you would never ask that question. You would say, who's the best defenseman of all time?
And? What do you got, Bogus?
People would probably say Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr, right.
Right.
Just saying.
Are you trying to catch Ryan on a technicality here? What do you want, like a...
I don't know. It's just like, would you keep doing this darn Panthers goalie? I'd like to mix it up a little bit.
It's like a pitcher. A pitcher is...
Right, a pitcher.
One of the best defensemen, possibly. He's a first line of defense against the offense.
He's eligible for gold gloves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like which is my exact point, right? Like, Greg Maddux was always won the gold glove, right? So defense and pitching are obviously different things. That we can agree on.
Yes.
But a pitcher is technically on the defensive side.
Correct.
So there's a big distinction there.
Yes.
The goalie is literally defending the net. He lives inside the metal cage to keep the puck out.
I know. I'm not saying that goalie is on the defensive side, but you admit pitchers are not considered defensive players, right?
No, and a gold glove is for literally playing defense, like fielding bunts and throws to first base. But,
there you go. Think about it.
No, I am. Goalies are in hockey are defensive players. They don't score goals. They don't leave. They can't go across.
Once in a while, they do.
They can't go across the middle of the ice.
Goaltender leaves the net if they want to empty the net to add an offensive player onto the ice.
Right.
I think Proloff's just having, it's an issue with the award that we're giving out each week. That's what this is about.
I don't know. It just seems a little obvious to go goalie all the time.
Okay, so I mean, if you want to tell Ryan to be more creative,
maybe
fine.
Like go with the Panthers defenseman, I don't know.
What an Aaron Ekblad mention.
I should have went with David Benedict.
You should have.
Yep. The UConn Director of Athletics.
It would have been way funnier. Bogus has headlines. What's going on today?
We're going to start with hockey. The Edmonton Oilers are down 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. Despite having two amazing good luck charms, we're now calling her Kate, and even Maggie appreciated her contribution to the Oilers playoff run when she showed social media her two goal lights in the arena during a game. Now, in her defense, Kate did not want the video online, but online it went. She did initially get it down, but now she is the most famous Oiler fan in North America. As you might expect, though, she regrets the choice to pull up her Esatikinen jersey.
The handful of cheesies I ate all day and the eight Trulies I drank in the first period, it was definitely inspiring.
Now, is it cheesy and edible? Is that what that is?
I've never heard that before.
Me neither. Truly, I know what those are.
She drank eight of them in one period?
What an animal. Now, this is a very popular Spittin' Chicklets hockey podcast.
Say that again?
Kate did the interview in huge reflective sunglasses because she's trying to hide her actual identity. She's the hero Edmonton needs, but maybe she doesn't want to be.
Are you happy that a lot of people are saying you could lead Edmonton to the cup? This seems like something that Edmonton could really grab a hold of, no pun intended, and ride all the way till they lift Lord Stanley.
Honestly, last night when they lost the game, I was like going to get in my truck and just like drive to the bush and like build a little shack out of sticks and live in it after seeing everyone was like, ah, we need her.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, listen, I'm always of the opinion if you've got it flaunted. However, you can't have all the cheesies and the Trulias and then lift up the sweater and then say, no, I don't want any attention.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
And then go on the most popular hockey podcast that's ever existed.
Right, in like, costume, though.
I'd rather you not use my last name. Just lean into it, girl.
Wearing a luchador mask. Yeah.
The only thing she didn't do is just be in shadow with her voice change. Like a witness on a TV show.
She doesn't have to worry. I don't know if anyone was like really looking at her face.
She's pretty, though.
She's very pretty, but I don't think that a lot of pretty women get on a television broadcast, and very few of them make the Spit and Chicklets podcast. She went above and beyond.
She did.
The call of duty, if you will. And to now say, well, I really don't want the attention.
And because those guys are journalists, they did ask if she's used any performance enhancers, and she did say yes. Those are not.
Oh,
does that change it?
Those
for
are
anybody?
Not natural.
That's the lead.
That's the lead. That's the lead. Edmonton down 0-2. They're not working. That's the lead.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's because the coach put the kibosh on it when he invoked the name of the almighty Buffalo Bills.
That's true.
Put LED bulbs in. That's
That conversation probably happened between games 1 and 2. So now they've lost game 2-4-1 in Florida last night. Chris Knobloch's high flying team has scored just one so far in the final.
Yeah, we'd like some more goals, but I'm not calling. I think our top guys have been really good.
So more goals, less boobs. Edmonton did score first.
Well, you didn't say that.
You
just said more goals.
Right.
You kind of editorialized the other part.
Edmonton scored first last night, but then outplayed throughout the game. Evan Rodriguez scored twice in the first 12 minutes of the third period to break a 1-1 tie. Game 3 in Edmonton on Thursday night.
I saw that there's an adult website that promised her $100,000 to just show off her, you know what, again. And honestly, she should take a page from Danny Hurley and she should get another site to come in and see how much they would offer her and get a bidding war going. And then maybe then finally the governor of Connecticut will pay her what she's worth.
Well, she wouldn't have to. She would be.
What's the equivalent in Alberta, Canada?
I don't know.
The provincial minimum. There's
gonna
be somebody in charge.
About their politics.
Forget about confidentiality after doing that. If she does it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, is $100,000 enough to put your face and name on that in perpetuity?
Oh, no,
the internet.
Not for me.
I know she said she was really drunk when she did this, but like she definitely did it, and she wants to show these off because clearly she paid for them. So why not also get $100,000 for it? They didn't fuck her out of the convent.
No,
guys.
It doesn't seem like enough.
What do you have to do for the $100,000? I'm sorry.
They said just to show off her chest, just as she did the other night. That's all they want, according.
But
to
But they
this
already story. Have it. Why would they pay her even $100,000?
They want the proprietary.
I'd do it.
I'd ask for more.
I'm glad to
you know that for more.
Can I show off my chest?
How much?
How do I pay to keep your shirt on?
Bogus, how much to get you to have a face tattoo?
A face tattoo?
Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like how many millions? 1.6, can we do it?
That sounds good. Sure, yeah.
Enough to retire.
I want to clear 1.6.
Do you get to determine what the face tattoo is, or who gets to choose?
They're no good face tattoos, so I'm not sure it matters.
One's the bull's testicles and one's the jello, you know?
Can I get my face tattooed on my face?
Seems like cheating.
Yeah.
Can I get $3 million to put on my clothes? I'll take it.
Listen, Pete, I'm sure there's an OnlyFans somewhere for you, too. There's like some kind.
Find me that person.
There's something for everybody in this
day and
age.
I would say the market's not robust, Maggie. I would say.
There's some weird stuff.
He's not
going to
get
there.
Danny Hurley Connecticut money for Pete's OnlyFans.
But forecast that wears pullovers.
Yeah. I don't know. People are asking for pictures of my feet. There's some weirdos out there, man. No disrespect.
Yeah. I've got some free time, Pete, with Maggie, Little League over.
If I was your agent, I'd say get those feet out there. I have no problem showing my... Yeah.
And they're not modified or enhanced. These are all natural.
Yeah, all natural.
All natural feet, guys.
Yeah.
Get them while they're hot.
Pop those shoes off, take a picture, and let's rake in the cash. Can we all get part of this?
They've been recently pedicured.
We've somehow had this conversation before. I mean, you can't prove that they're your fee. Why wouldn't you do
that? Well,
you
only get paid if you put your name to it.
Is that true?
Well, yeah.
What do you mean put your name to it?
Well, like, these are my feet.
Right, but you could just pick anything off stock photo and say, these are my feet.
No, but I think part of wanting women broadcasters' feet is because, like, it's part of the appeal of the broadcaster.
No, I understand, but... why can't you fake it? Is there a service out there that's verifying the feet?
Because that would be against my morals and ethics. And there has to be some standard, Perloff, in this world.
I don't think Steiner Sports is doing that.
I almost hosted a show for them once.
I did actually once. He didn't ask for my feet.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you could definitely take a photo of someone else's feet out there. They're not going to mind. This is free money, man.
Real foot fetish people, I think, have to know the difference between, like, what, AI-generated feet? You can't fake that. You want the real
feet.
Thing.
Yes, you can.
But now, some people specifically would request your feet, but... Couldn't you supply stock? No, just like be a foot model, for lack of a better term, for sites that just put up feet indiscriminately for people to go look at. Or is that not a market? Like, does the foot people want to know where the foot came from?
So the foot people who I've encountered want, can I have a picture of your feet, not just a stock photo? As far as being a foot model, I think I'm out of the running because I wear a size 9 shoe. It's too big.
Jeez this Louise. Is-
Sorry. I'm walking
Way
around.
Way to ruin the allure.
No, walking around on 2x4.
We need a wide lens camera to take a picture of this. We might need to set up some special photographic equipment to get these bad boys in frame.
I'm on skis.
Sorry for my very honest reaction there. I didn't know I worked with Krusty the Clown.
Hey!
This is the panel feature on my phone.
This is why I have such great balance.
You're trying to knock me over, I dare you.
I've never noticed, actually. No wonder people are asking for so much money. That's a lot of foot.
I'm sure someone in Terre Haute will want to see it.
Yeah, you charge about a square inch, you'll be a millionaire. Yeah.
I know. It's planks. Oh, sorry to ruin the appeal, guys. I'm not walking around on little baby feet. I'd fall over. I'm 5'8". I can't have a size 6.5 shoe. I'd look ridiculous.
6.5 is also big. What are you talking about?
What do you think? What size do you think women wear?
Oh my gosh. I tell you, nobody in my family wears a size 9.
You guys were just like blown away. Like, I just blew everyone's hair back with the fact that I wear a size 9 shoe.
I'm a size 12.
Yeah, for men. See, double standards.
That's right.
Nobody cares when it's a guy.
Well, there has to be a site out there for that.
Yeah, I think that's what we're getting at. Can we sell our feet? I mean, I'll take these shoes off right now.
Yeah, no, but women are normal. They don't want to see our feet.
My feet are not normal, by the way. They are worn down.
Two-ton Tony said, Maggie can walk on water. Yeah. It's just water skis. Those are my feet.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go water skiing? I don't need any skis.
No, no equipment necessary.
Just need one check. That's it. One big check.
Where's the boat?
So I think the bottom line is we're selling multiple things here. We're selling Pete Pilati's OnlyFans site.
Yep.
I'm ready to back that.
Me and Bogus are taking our shoes off and selling our feet.
Yeah, well, that ringing endorsement.
You, I guess, all of a sudden are deciding to be bashful here and not taking this clear advantage to make money for everyone.
No, I didn't realize I have plus size feet. I'm going to be like one of those models they call curvy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm in a different you have stratosphere. Feet? Yeah.
My feet are big bones.
Yeah, they're big bone feet.
We should call Ripley's.
I don't know why people think they're not hairy or anything. I'm not a hobbit. But am I?
I'm surprised I don't hear you coming down the hallway with those things slapping again.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Oh, Maggie's here.
Do you remember that earthquake? Remember that earthquake a few months ago? That was no earthquake.
I was tap dancing.
That poor treadmill for the hot takes.
I know. That treadmill's doing work, man.
I just remember how... We're in the same building as WFAN in New York, and Robert Saleh would text the host. I just got a text from a former Jets coach asking about this segment.
Did she say size 9?
Dollar sign question mark.
Not rich coat type.
Believe me, Rex and I are on a first name basis.
Oh, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
P. Maddie said Maggie can step on fruit and bugs.
Oh, come on.
I'm crushing grapes.
Yeah, like Lucille Ball.
The finest wines, Pinots, right from these toes.
Size matters to Rex. I love that. A plus only.
Oh my God.
If it's under 8, he doesn't want any.
Do I have big feet? I don't, you never noticed them, so clearly I'm not walking around with, you know.
I noticed them now.
Yeah.
Can't unsee that.
They're no, not I'm just kidding. Flippers.
You have nice feet.
They're normal.
You've got cool
sneakers.
I'll
give you $50 for a picture.
It's going to cost more than that.
Double our hits today.
So we've got Perloff wearing his wife's workout pants and his co-host sneakers.
Also, what are you, the Lakers? Lowballing me with that offer. I can't live off that.
Well, how was I mean, basically men's workout pants and women's workout pants are almost identical, except for a little flare out at the bottom.
It's not the flare out. It's the fact that your waists are the same size.
Oh. Gotcha.
Sorry.
I don't care about the bottom.
Are you taking a diss at my wife there?
No, I think the diss is at you wasted away. Let me get you some breakfast or something.
Yeah.
You need that salmon tower.
Oh, I got a funny diet thing for you guys coming up.
For your feet?
It might help. Yes, my feet are on a diet.
You realize if you put your foot on the table right now, we would triple our audience on YouTube.
Not doing it. Oh. Also, would you understand that Kaplan couldn't get it all in the frame? We'd have to take all of the quad box and just remove it for me.
I think there's all sorts of new sponsors that come along with this.
Dr. Scholl's?
Dr. Scholl's for one. I sing a little more R-rated, but okay.
Foot Locker.
Foot Locker. Now serving
plus size
feet.
My foot doesn't fit
in
the locker. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm like a little more like Cinderella's ugly stepsisters, like can't shove it in the shoe.
Right.
The prince definitely wasn't coming after me.
That restaurant Chicky and Feet.
Oh, jeez.
They didn't find my Adidas 3-stripe laying around. It's like, this is the woman I'll marry.
We're being totally mean here. Your feet are totally normal. This is all.
No, I just let's keep point it going that they're not normal. Maybe this gets me in another part of the internet.
Well,
where
you're
really
clearly not
money.
Willing to sell these darn feet, so I don't even know what we're doing here.
I just haven't gotten the right offer yet. I never said I wasn't willing to sell. I still want to coach in the NBA. It's just not the Lakers.
Would your husband be mad if you sold a picture of your feet?
God, no. He's had access to these things for 15 years.
Yeah. So he's down. Yeah. Like this could be your first year of your kid's college education.
Man, bring
it
on.
You should do this. God, if I had a body part anyone would want to see, I'd be out there on the internet times 1,000.
Let's see your left kidney. Come
I have
on.
Nice calves. Is there a market for that? No?
Oh, calves. Well, that's usually have to be a little bigger. You know?
Thanks, Maggie.
On top, I meant. People of good calves are generally big dudes. Have you noticed that?
I'm done with pants.
Because they're walking around with a lot of weight all the time, so it's good on the calves.
Yeah. You know, some guys get calf implants. That's like a thing. That is weird to me.
Yeah, I don't think any woman has been like, well, I wasn't going to sleep with them, but then I saw the calves.
That's a thing, though.
That's not a thing for women.
Okay.
That's a thing in men's minds.
Yeah, I'm just
not getting any chicks because my calves are bad. It's like Michael Penis. It's because of your Michael Penis. Okay, 855-212-4227.
Can we do an update there? I don't know.
We got halfway through. Yeah. Things happened. Whatever.
Okay. All right, if I was wearing shorts right now, you might rethink that calf implant take. Some men, the calves, they give it, they take it away. I'm not sure I'm impressing anyone with these sticks.
How great. We get a treat coming up next. Been a minute. Perloff going against the grain. How about that? Maggie Perloff.
Against the grain.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. All right, we're going to go against the grain today. Today is a big day. A lot of minicamps report, and a lot of wide receivers may or may not be there. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. So this is, in my opinion, Maggie, the time to hold out because all these wide receiver contracts we're seeing, they are about to fall apart in a major, major way.
Why?
Well, remember when they used to pay running backs? Seems like a long time ago, right? Let me read you some contracts for running backs. In 2018, they gave Todd Gurley 4 years, $52 million. Crazy right now. That would never happen again. In 2019, they gave Le'Veon Bell $42 million. And then Ezekiel Elliott, 6 years, $90 million, $50 million guaranteed. So that seemed crazy. But do you remember everybody calling them out? Maybe a little bit Zeke. Nobody called out those contracts back then. They all seemed normal. Did you? We weren't together. In 2018, when Todd Gurley got signed, was anyone saying this is out of control?
I don't remember that. And
no.
I remember people saying Le'Veon Bell, like, wow, look, he held out for a year. He ended up getting a lot of guaranteed money. And
yeah, nobody. But okay, so that all fell apart fast. Within 2 years, running backs can't make anything except for Christian McCaffrey. So Justin Jefferson gets $35 million per year. This is never happening again. And I wrote up a little thing, seven reasons why.
Wow.
You want to hear? Seven, and we're going
to
go
can
fast.
Can you do a 7-1 to countdown?
And you're going to agree with all these. I think that you're fully on my side.
Okay.
The most important reason is supply. Every year, 15 receivers come in the NFL who are awesome. I don't know where they're coming from. There are 7 first-rounders this year. That ties the most ever. 28 receivers have been picked in the first round over the last 5 years. This was never like that. Now, every year, amazing receivers come in. I mean, we have Jets fans in the building. This kid, Malachi Corley, out of Western Kentucky, is going to be awesome, and he wasn't even a first-round pick. So, Puka Nacua, last year in the fifth-round pick. Every year, there are guys who are coming out of nowhere. So, why are you paying Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins $30 million a year when you can get that production from a cheap guy? Why, Maggie? Why are you doing it? Stop doing it. Get off those big feet and get smart. Okay. Yeah. Other reasons. Chiefs won. They did not pay Tyreek Hill. Won 2 Super Bowls. None of us can figure out how they did it. Patriots won 6 Super Bowls. Never paid a wide receiver. Once dipped their toes on Randy Moss. Never won a Super Bowl with that. So you don't have to pay them to win. Number 3, quantity. The smart teams are just loading up with 9 guys on their depth chart. The Chiefs, obviously, they basically have a cast of thousands of wide receivers right now. The Green Bay Packers have 1 million guys, and your Buffalo Bills, look at their receiver. I tell you right now, it's going to work, Maggie. Because it's working in Kansas City. It's working in Green Bay. You do not need to pay a number one. Jordan Love had a great line last week. He said, we're better because we don't have a number one receiver, and the the defenses have no idea where the ball is going. And he made a really, really strong argument. I agree. 4, why are you paying when your offensive coordinator determines all this anyway? Drake London, number 8 pick, great player, right? Gets 6 targets a game. We have no idea. Like, what's the point of paying Drake London when you have Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator? So it's such a dependent position. Then you're paying Nico Collins this offseason in Houston. He's getting a huge deal, $72 million, 3 years. What is so good? What made Nico Collins so good last year, Maggie? I ask you that.
C.J. Stroud.
So give the money to C.J. Stroud. Why are you giving it to Nico Collins? Finally, this is the one reason. This one is my weakest reason, but I like it. Wide receivers are divas. Do you really need the headache? Do you really need Tyreek Hill getting the highest contract and 2 years later asking for a new contract? If you pay them, they're just going to want more. You know, they're like you and your feet pictures. More, 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 more. So I think teams are going to start to go cheap, and I think they're not going to be $35 million contracts anymore for wide receivers. Like, this is the peak of the market, and it's going down, and smart teams are going to realize that, and they are not going to give up their whole cap for wide receivers. Telling you right now, it's a new running back. You heard it, 8:53 Eastern, June something today, June 11th. That is the end of the wide receiver. This is mark this time. People heard this, GMs around the league. Former coaches who are paying up for foot photographs heard this, and they're not going to pay receivers. What do you think?
I think I'm immediately regretting telling you guys that I wear a size 9 shoe. That was a regrettable thing to do.
Fact.
And then the other part of this is it's a great against the grain. Solid. I just think we're yada yada-ing over a lot.
Too bad we're out of the segment. You can't explain what that is.
Well, Travis Kelce getting paid at the top of the tight end market. The quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers paid a wide receiver in Deebo, and they were in the Super Bowl last year. Same with the Philadelphia Eagles and A.J. Brown. Wide receivers do help you get to the Super Bowl.